Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the fourth Monday of each month from 2 to 3, it must be Breakthrough Networking, starring Al Fulton, owner of Net One Services. Al, how are you?
Good, Dave. Thank you for having me on the show. And, yep, this is going to be a wonderful show.
It's always a wonderful show. And the reason is because you're an amazing person and great, not just an amazing person, great customer service. And what a great IT guy you are. You have saved me, like I've said, many, many times.
Well, thanks. Thank you. And we definitely, not just myself, but the Net One team, We enjoy doing what we do.
You really do. I could tell. And that's such a blessing when you find a company, a person that really is true to themselves, true to their customers, and really want to go way above expectations. You are the epitome of that type of person.
Well, thanks.
And company.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So were you impressed that I finally got the day right? Sometimes I'm thinking, like, what day am I, right? I always do that. Right, Tommy?
Yes.
I was like, is this the fourth Monday? Sometimes I think it's a sixth Monday, and I go, wait a minute. I don't think there's six Mondays. Then I think there's seven Mondays. I can't remember.
You're right. That's a little impossible, six Mondays.
So this was pretty good. So you have a great topic today. I believe it is mobile device management and security. That sounds fancy.
It is. And to give you a little bit of information about that, I read something that said that there were 10 million Windows phones sold last year. 40 million iPhone, whether they're iPhones and iPads, but there were 139 million Android-enabled devices. 139 million. Samsung cranked out 10 million a month, just Samsung alone. So that's a lot of devices. That's well over 160. Let's do the math, 139, which is 140, plus another 40. It was 180 and another 10 million for Microsoft. That's 190. And then there's Symbian, and there's the BlackBerry. So let's just say another 10 million there. That's 200 million smartphones and tablets sold last year.
That's just the sales. So there's a lot more out there than, what did you say, 200 million?
200 million. And one of the statistics says that there's 900,000 of the Android phones that are, just right here, a Google analyst mentions that there were 900,000 Android devices activated each day.
900,000?
Yes, 37,500 per hour, which is 1,000 devices per minute. That is just just astronomical.
Wow. So that's, I guess people are getting two or three at a time, maybe.
What it is a lot of individuals, and that's in the statistics as well, is more than 50% of the individuals that compute, prefer a tablet.
Yeah.
Or smartphone to connect to the internet, and more businesses are adopting applications that will allow the user to access the corporate data via these apps, which are on smartphones and tablets, to gain access to the company information, whether it's calendars, contacts, actual data, reports. All of that is now accessible from a tablet that is, and I'll back up one step, a lot of the applications are webified, so you just simply need a browser to access the information. You no longer need a computer with a dedicated operating system and high power CPUs. It's just basically viewing a screen of a website.
Well, I'll tell you, does anything look familiar?
I see an Apple logo on the back of your device.
I have an iPad. I may have had it last month, too.
You did.
But it's new. I consider it new, and I'll tell you, phenomenal.
Yes.
I will say it's a testimonial for, well, I guess for Apple, but I guess other tablets are probably good too. But what I find phenomenal is that it boots up like instantly.
Yes.
And that is nice. It's fast. It's flexible. I can move back and forth, especially on the radio where I can have various types of notes and websites going. And it's just a lot quicker and a lot easier to use for the radio. It's also great for email. It's also great if I want to write something, an article. I do tax research on it because we, you know, I have an online tax service, so it's all, I guess, in the cloud type of deal.
Yep.
I can't do an accounting on it, but at this point, but I don't know if that's good or bad.
In the future, a lot of the applications will be webified, like QuickBooks or Intuit.
Oh yeah.
They now have their version that is web based. That you can access from your smartphone, and there's new applications that are coming out, so you can actually create an invoice, and there's a device you attach to the smartphone, and you can actually charge a credit card with a swipe device, so you actually take advantage of credit card authorizations while mobile.
You know, I was at the Apple Store. This is where I bought it, the Apple Store.
Oh, okay.
And well, they said it's all about the same price with Apple, so you know, going to Best Buy. I usually go to Best Buy, but they said it's probably going to be about the same. But there I was, and I figure I might as well get everything. I got the iPhone 5 there, and I got this, and then I got this little case with the, what do you call it, keyboard?
Keyboard, yes.
Which is sort of cool. It's not made by Apple, though. I forgot.
Yeah, it's definitely a nice add-on because...
great add-on.
For a tablet that is just basically a sheet of glass, and it allows typing much more efficiently. And
what do you have? You have something similar.
I do. Mine is... my case snaps on to the iPad. It's
what makes that?
Bluetooth keyboard. Oh, I don't know.
Mine is... Logitech. Ever hear of Logitech?
Oh, yeah. Excellent brand.
Oh, really?
Yes.
But it's very similar. It looks sort of similar. Mine's a magnet.
Mine is just gravity held, but it actually snaps in and becomes a durable carrying case.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. Mine is, too. It's a durable, but it's a magnet. It's sort of cool.
Oh,
watch this. See? For those watching on BreakRadioShow.com, I'm picking up the tablet and... magnet.
Oh, nice.
And then I just pull it off. Is that pretty cool?
That is.
I usually gather a lot of paper clips this way. It's really cool. Sometimes I'll walk down the street and I'll end up with $10 of change. It's phenomenal, Tommy. Really. You should try it.
I'll take it to the beach and comb the sand.
I know. It's pretty good. But so the credit card device interests me. So I could see this iPhone 5 here, right?
Yes.
So there's something I could hook onto that.
Yes.
And take credit card payments.
Yeah, it's two different styles. One plugs into the audio jack where you normally plug your headset, and the other one plugs into the base. The audio...
here?
Yes.
Oh, right there.
The audio jack is a very popular method, and kind of like the technology of the old modems. When you swipe the card, it uses the that port to transmit the information to the credit card merchant.
Where do you get that?
There's several. Intuit actually has one. There's another one. I believe it's called Cube or Squared. Each of them have their own plans that you can sign up with them. They're merchants as well, and they charge a fee for.
Do you know how much the device costs? Is it free if you sign up?
I don't know the exact details, but through Intuit, they allowed one device free for the total number of QuickBooks packages you have. So I took advantage of that. And,
oh, you did?
Then they shipped
out. Do you have it here?
I don't. I have it in a vehicle. I didn't think about it.
I was going to get you a credit card and just play on it. You would have ended up with tons of money.
During the next break, I'll run out to the vehicle. Yeah. I'll grab
really?
It.
So you got one, huh?
I do, yes.
And it just hooks on, and that's sort of cool because the Apple Store had that too. They all have these. It's not like an iPhone, but it's a big bulky thing.
Yes.
But it's handheld, and that's how you pay. There's no cash registers that I saw, and you say, okay, give me your credit card, your debit card. They swipe it through. They get you the receipt right. It prints it right out.
Right.
Pretty high tech, huh?
Yes. And that's another device that the scanners are available, where you can actually, one of the apps, you can take a picture of it, or you can scan your software or different and for me, as an IT person, when I go on site, I take pictures of different things and I store it. So I synchronize that back to the office or up to the cloud, which we were talking about that last month, you know, the iCloud, where you can synchronize all of your information in one place. So it doesn't matter if you're using an iPad or an iPhone or iTV, all of your music and photos and contacts, everything is in one place out in the cloud.
That is so cool. Now, people have accused me of being in the cloud at time to time, but I think they meant something else. But the thing is, now, should I be depositing checks through my iPhone? You know, Chase has that.
Oh, yes.
Is that a good deal?
It is very convenient.
Is it? Do you know much about it? Or?
I do, and
but you're hesitant. I could tell. Like, yeah, if you want your money, don't do it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's the case or not.
Well, I am hesitant because when you take a picture of a check and you send it over the airwaves to the bank, there's always the opportunity for it to be intercepted. Now, if it's encrypted properly so that it has a password on it and the characters, let's just call it, the characters are hidden or scrambled so that you can't just read it and reassemble it on another smartphone, and then all of the bank information would be there. It would, you know, the routing number is there, the bank that it's drawn on, the check number, the check amount, a signature. I mean, there's a lot of information that's on a check. Well, the company that allows the direct deposit or the deposit via a picture, that is where the weakest link is, because you have the check in your possession. If you go right to the bank, you eliminate someone intercepting it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, if you take a picture of it and you send it over the internet, there is the possibility of it, you know, that it can be copied or duplicated. Mm. Now, I'm not saying that to alarm everyone, just that is a possibility. And I am going to do a little bit more research on that and for the next show, and I'll have more details.
That would be great. They also have machines, I think, banks giving deposit machines, and that's a lot safer, I suspect.
Yes, because it is.
Well, you run it through a machine, you have possession of the check still.
Right, but it still does it very similar. It turns that into a scanned file, which they still transmit. It's just not a photo. It's now scanned.
Interesting.
Which is more secure. I mean, typically it's been proven and a little bit harder to crack.
Wow, that is pretty interesting. All these great things out there, and I don't know. Do you wish you were the founder of the iPad?
Of course.
I mean, that. Now, will tablets overtake iPad? Is there a lot of great tablets out there?
There are, and
is that something you're going to talk about later, perhaps?
Oh, no, I can bring it up now. One of the statistics is that iPads by, Apple introduced it, the iPad in 2010, and by within 2 years, it overtook Apple shipped more of the iPads than any single PC vendor in 2011.
Oof.
That is how rapidly the tablets are growing. Now, keep in mind, that's just Apple. That does not include the Android.
Yeah, and you got some action there. Is that similar to the iPad?
Very. The tablets are very similar. Some have keyboards attached. Some are just the plain, you know, glass with a back to protect it. But some of the newer tablets that are coming out have the same Android operating system as the smartphones, of course. Mm. And there's other devices that are coming out by Android in the very near future. Now, I'm going to digress and go back to Apple for a moment with their glasses. Now, the Google glasses are driven by the different operating systems, or specifically Android, and it has their maps, the Google Maps, and some of the other apps built into it. Well, in the near future, the tablets will be thinner yet, and they will be flexible. So you could actually roll up your tablet and put it in your pocket. Or just like there's a couple TV shows where they actually show a sheet of paper and then graphics where you just they pull it out and it's they use it just like a standard tablet, and then they just toss it away like it's nothing. So eventually tablets will be, you can place that material.
Disposable tablets?
Exactly. You can place them anywhere. You can place them on a wall, you know, just adhere them because they'll be wireless. And they are increasing in size, so eventually they will replace the TV because you can just use this large flexible glass, place it on the wall, and you can watch videos and get on the internet, which I will change subjects for just a moment. Smart TVs are connected to the internet, and they allow you to browse, and you can... there's a wealth of information over the internet. Now, that's what smart TVs. You can research and search TV shows, you know, have it go out and search the internet for specific episodes, certain music. Well, I predict, and I'm researching this, the next level of PCs or TVs will actually be a complete PC in the TV. So not just capable of browsing, but you can actually compute, and it will have storage right on that device. So you won't even need a TV in your room. You'll have this all-in-one everything device that you just mount on the wall, and it will hold all of your... everything, all of your data, anything that you can capture via a smartphone, a tablet, the internet. You can program routines to go out and gather information for you and start downloading it and have a repository. This will be the next wave is going to be awesome.
And I predict, and let's see if Tommy agrees with this, that the couch potato man. Do you know what a couch potato man is?
Define that.
A guy that sits on the couch and you know, maybe drinks a beer or whatever and watches football or something all day long.
Yes.
Or a lot of hours.
Okay, I was correct.
And I predict the couch potato men will program their TVs coming up to look and sound like their wives. Yes.
Not exactly like their wives, though.
No, not exactly, because they'll have an off button.
Right, I was going to say, because the wife is going to say, you know, the couch potato, you, after about 4 hours, you need to get up. Turn that TV off now.
Yes, so I think that's... Oh, we're getting a flood of calls from... I don't know where it's from, but...
Tell me, just hit the delete button on that.
Yes, definitely delete it.
Clear those, okay.
Anyway, is this a commentary on wipes or is it a commentary on couch potato men?
The ability for the TV to search and find every single football episode ever recorded, and that would be endless days of a football-thon.
And it's days, not Dave's.
Yes.
Just in case... Wow, why didn't we take a quick break? And when we come back, we'll talk more about this stuff. Really interesting. I want to talk a little bit more about rolling up these tablets. You know, what type of material is that and how expensive that might be if you can throw it away. Disposable tablets, that's interesting. And we'll be right back. Of course, this is Breakthrough Networking, starring Al Fulton, owner of NetOne Services. We'll be right back.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, In addition to water and fire damage repair, our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And, of course, if it is the fourth Monday of each month from 2 to 3, it is Breakthrough Networking, starring none other than Al Fulton, owner of NetOne Services. Al, you're back.
I am.
We should have a show. Al is back. And, of course, let's talk, before we get into some a thing called COPE, let's talk a little bit about NetOne Services, because really, the customer service really is phenomenal. I've had such a great and wonderful experience with you guys. It's just phenomenal. I mean, you've really done remarkable things for me, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Dave. The customer service is something that is what I expect, and if I want to be treated a certain way, I reciprocate, or I do something first and then expect that. In the computer business, being around it for the number of years I have, there's not really a reason for a computer to run slow or continuously, meaning we need to address it, diagnose what is causing the problem. And there's some simple solutions, but others are when the computer gets to a certain age, it does need to be replaced. And that's what I do. I evaluate it, or our team maintains them. And then when we see something that is not correct or failing, or just it's underperforming because of the new software that's applied, that is where that expertise comes in. We make the recommendation, and so the first thing out of our mouth is, oh, you just need a new computer. That's not the case. There are, you may just need some additional RAM installed. Mm. It could be that it's time for, it's in a dusty environment or a hot environment, and the hard drives just keep burning out. There's not enough ventilation.
Oh.
In fact, I mentioned these, and you just don't think about them, like you said, that response. Oh, had a client that put the PCs in a cabinet, and after a couple months, the hard drives would burn out. And they called and says, we're having a terrible time with these computers. And I went to visit the customer, and this was not one of my customers. It was a referral. And took a look at the environment, and they said, the computers are over there. And I said, where? In that cabinet.
Oh.
I opened the cabinet, and it must have been 110 degrees in the cabinet.
No wonder, right?
Exactly. A couple suggestions. One is to ventilate it. Put a fan in the area. Or just there are solutions, and that's what we do with our customer services. We don't just fix the immediate problem. We look at the entire picture and then come up with a solution, especially going forward, too, with new applications in the future. We don't build for today. We build for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the road.
Wow, you mentioned age of the computer. At certain age it should be replaced. Is there a certain age?
Typically 3 years for two reasons. One is power supplies tend to weaken after that period of time, and hard drives, if they're running for 2 to 3 years, they begin to slow down, and or there's something called a sector. The sectors go bad, and they just don't retain the information. So there's crashes or loss of data and corruption. So typically about 3 years. Besides, after 3 years, that's three revisions of software. You try going 3 years without upgrading your Intuit software. After the third year, Intuit, which is QuickBooks, they'll tell you, oh, I'm sorry, we don't support that any longer. And 3 years, that's two operating systems later. And so that would be going from XP to Vista to Windows 7.
Yeah.
And so 3 years prior would be two operating system versions too old, and they'll say, sorry, we don't support that. So you'll get in this, if it's older than 3 years, you'll run into lots of problems. Just band-aiding it and it just doesn't do. Adding a little bit more RAM 3-4 years down the road speeds it up a little, but you still have all the other issues. Power supply is going to die, or operating system is too old, programs won't run. And then the next year is when it really it surfaces, when everything starts crashing, and that's when there's issues.
Now, does it matter the usage of the computer? So, it's like a car. I know it gets, the out-of-date issues that you just discussed, but how about computers that, PCs that running constantly, 10, 12 hours a day versus PCs that aren't used as quite as much.
Right. Most of the manufacturers design the computers, or they tend to last about 2 to 3 years. If a computer is on...
It doesn't even matter the usage, you mean?
The hard drive is the item that is a moving part. So if it's running 24 hours a day, that's how they clock the... They determine the life is the number of hours of...
24 hours a day.
Well, they do... keep that in mind. So they will put a limit on it, and they'll say this item is under warranty for 10,000 hours. And so if once it reaches the 10,000 hours, they expect it to just die in its trash and just go buy a new one. So yes, your question is valid. If the computer is a home computer and it's only used from, let's say, 6 p.m. to maybe 9, 3 hours a day, yes, it could, in theory, it could last 5, 6, 7 years before it needs a part. But then there's that.
Or 8 hours a day, it could last maybe, so if it's based on 24, then maybe three times. So maybe, 4 years, 5 years.
That's why I say 3 years, because a lot of companies, they leave their computers on 24 hours a day, and that clock is ticking, and within 3 years, it is spent. The hard drives will fail.
Now, here's a question people always wonder about. Is it good to turn off the computer each day? Is there any harm to it? Or put it on sleep?
Now, just in case the radio audience hears Dave pausing. He is
typing.
He's typing in his iPad because
I know I heard myself pause on that because I was trying to keep up with my typing.
Yes, it's his new toy. That's
I like it a lot.
It is. It's great.
It is very, very good.
Great tool.
So I'll say it without the typing. Is it good to turn off the computer each day or put it on the sleep mode? I've done both.
Right.
I don't know which way to go on this.
They're actually fairly equivalent. A sleep mode is an automated shutdown where it spins the hard drive down, which is probably the number one item that will fail due to leaving it on. The power supplies, they can last years typically unless it's the environment is warm or dusty. Dust will cause a lot of heat to build up. Their ventilation just doesn't work and they overheat and they burn out. Hard drives, they just, because they're running on bearings, that you can't oil them like you do a car engine, you eventually just wear out. But back to putting them to sleep, it does the same thing. It writes the operating system to RAM or memory on the motherboard, and then it powers down, or it'll write it to a different spot on the hard drive and power down. When you power it back up, it then pulls that information from RAM or hard drive, and the operating system is where you left off. So for speed, putting it to sleep is faster. It only uses a minimal amount of power. Shutting it down, it closes and saves everything. You have to close all the applications. You have to just basically you're shutting it down and bringing it back up from scratch each time.
But it doesn't matter if you do that every time. It doesn't hurt the computer if you shut it off.
It doesn't hurt either way. For some applications, they don't like databases. If you're attached to a database on a server and you leave that application open in the database and you put your machine to sleep, databases don't like that because it's still expecting a connection. So there are reasons why companies will say, make it a policy, simply you must exit out of certain applications or you must shut your computer down. Also, if a computer is left on or in a database at a certain time of day, the backup will occur. If those files are open or on a screen partially updated, they're going to get a partially complete backup. And so for personal use or majority of the businesses, yes, shutting it down refreshes cleans the RAM.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, the buffers.
Yeah, it works better.
Yes, it does.
Yep. Yes, I've been doing that. Now, the one last thing, and then we'll take another break. The safely remove thing. Let's say you put an external hard drive or, you're backing something up. Thumb drive, whatever it's called, flash drive it used to be called. Mm-hmm. Do you always have to click on the thing safely remove, or can you always pull it out and still have the data?
Some of the devices have an LED that flickers or flashes when it's in use. Once your screen indicates that it's done and your device is no longer flashing, this is not a policy, but it's typically the device is not reading or writing. So it is, you can remove the device and fairly certain that you won't lose anything. That's what the operating system icon is. Remove this device safely. It's doing the same thing. It makes sure everything is closed out. It's writing registry changes that says this device is no longer attached. That's the key or the clue. If it's still copying something and you pull that, you're going to corrupt the data that it's still trying to write to the device. So it's not mandatory.
Well, so that's good to know. The other thing, though, is sometimes I'll copy something, and I think it happens more, I'm thinking, with Excel. And it's done copying. I could see the little thing has stopped flashing.
Yes.
And it says, no, you can't remove it yet. It's not safe to remove it.
Right.
The program's busy or something.
Correct. Yes, it hasn't closed the file or ended the transaction. Now, that's why I say it's not mandatory, but some applications do require that.
But I have to shut down Excel usually to get that.
Typically to close the file, to save the file, close it.
But if I pulled it out, it's probably okay still.
Now, this is just from experience and me watching some of the clients that just do this, whether they're told to click on that icon or not. It is a common practice that they don't click on the icon. They just simply remove the devices.
Oh.
Some of the manufacturers even say these are hot pluggable or hot swappable devices, which means while the computer is on and running, you just plug it in, you write to it, and when you're done, you can just unplug it while the computer's still powered up. And cameras, scanners, printers, a lot of those devices are hot pluggable.
Interesting. Wow, this is good advice. I just never knew that. Anyway, let's take another quick break. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion with Al Fulton, the star of Breakthrough Networking and owner of NetOne Services. We're talking about a whole bunch of stuff. When we come back, of course, we'll talk about COPE.
Yes.
C-O-P as in Paul, E as in Edward. How to cope with your loved ones. No, I'm kidding. It's a company-owned, personally-enabled deal.
Yes.
And we'll find out what that is right after this break.
Reidenauer, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And, of course, if it is the fourth Monday of each month from 2 to 3, it must be Breakthrough Networking, starring Al Fulton, owner of NetOne Services, great IT company, phenomenal customer service. And Al is just a great, great guy. And you've been in the business. Hey, yeah, where's his round of applause, Mr. Tom? Okay. And Al, as demonstrating such a great guy, he went on the last break to his car to bring out this thing we talked about that hooks on your iPhone to take credit cards. He's already taken 250,000 of my credit cards. No, I'm kidding. describe it. Looks like it's plastic, and it fits nicely into some port on the bottom or
actually on
top.
The top. It's the data port. The audio port. The data port's on the bottom. The audio port on the top.
Where's mine on this one? It's covered by the case, right?
It is.
Is that bad?
For the credit card processing, yes.
That would be a bad thing.
Right. But they do make one that is a case with the credit card swipe on the side.
Oh.
So it is actually built in. You won't have a separate device like I'm holding.
Wow.
This
so
one's like Half Moon, and it has the audio.
And you don't mean the bar, the sports bar, the Half Moon?
No.
Well, that's a very good place. Have you been there?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I like it. Tommy, have you been to the Half Moon? Lots of TVs, good sports action. I go there sometimes to eat edamame. Ever hear of edamame? Yeah, they're little beans. You know. Yeah, it's good. It's healthy. And I watch sports to report on sports on my sports show. Okay.
Oh,
I don't know how I got into that, but it's not bad, really.
That's a good reason to go there.
So this is like plastic. For those on breakradioshow.com, you can visually see it, right? You could. Happened? Did our Ustream go off? It looks. Oh, it's a sticking, he says. Oh, it's now on again. All right. Well, anyway, describe how that works then.
Okay. It plugs in physically to the top of the device, the smartphone, and it's shaped like a half moon. So it creates a circle around the top of the phone, and it's where you actually physically slide the credit card through or past the reader, and with the application, which is this one is Intuit, with the application enabled, it reads the credit card. Mm. It then asks for an amount and whether you would like a receipt. You click OK, and it processes the credit card via the cell phone and the internet.
So the receipt would just be an email receipt?
Exactly. It turns into a PDF and emails.
Wow. That is really pretty cool stuff. And have you used it yet?
I have a couple times, yes.
And how was that for you?
It was very efficient and convenient for the customer as well. And most of my business is a small business, so we bill the customer on a routine basis for our routine maintenance and managed services, as well as the break fix. So it's credit card is not very popular for my line of business.
Oh, but pretty cool stuff. That seems really convenient to do. And so they don't have to sign anything or...
There is a spot that they can sign on screen to verify.
Oh, wow.
So that is very nice. It's a combination of an app and a hardware device, almost like you were talking about printing. There are Bluetooth printers that are available as well, so that you can actually print the receipt to the device.
That is really cool. Technology makes things a lot different. It actually... creates a competitive situation for these large companies where a small business person can not have to invest in a lot of money, really, to be really on par with some of the bigger companies.
Correct, yes.
Which is interesting, right?
True. It typically, someone like a Super Shuttle would have a very large capital outlay to facilitate... taking credit cards and the printers and even AAA, they're same thing there. This gives the standard or the typical small business user the ability to do this with one single phone and have the full capability of either taking a picture of a check and depositing it immediately or taking credit cards in the field and not... It expedites receiving... payment for the services.
What if the person's not there? Can they call it in? Is there a way, or email it in, or is there a way to use Intuit's device or related app if they just give you the number over the phone?
There is. There was one option that said if there was a difficulty swiping the card or reading the card, there was an option. I did not use it.
Oh, you could type it in.
Right, you can type it in. And it asks if you physically have the card in your possession and did you see it, and you answer that question.
What if they call you on the phone, then you can't do it that way?
I'm sure there is a way that it says phone order not present.
Okay. That is very cool. I like that a lot. A lot of good stuff going on. So now you wanted to talk about COPE. What is COPE?
Now, before we do that, I wanted to disclaim the question from the last segment.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The question was, can you just simply pull the memory device out of the computer without clicking on the safely remove? The official answer is you should, according to the operating system manufacturer, you know, they say, yes, you must.
Should,
and I don't want anyone to hear this and say, oh, yeah, that guy Al on the radio, he said you can just pull the device. The official answer is you should click on that.
Yeah, and why not? It doesn't take long.
No, it doesn't.
I usually do that. I click on it, and it takes like a second.
Correct, yes.
So, you know, you feel safer that way.
That's true.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I'm glad that makes that we clarified that. Now, COPE. What is COPE?
Now, I'm sure that a lot of individuals have heard BYOD.
Bring your own bottle. OD.
device. Yes, bring your own device.
Remember in the old days, though, if you had a party, bring your own bottle? Although I don't drink, though.
I thought it was bring your own booze.
Oh, is that what it is? I Tommy, you're the cider here. Was it bring your own bottle or bring your own booze?
Well, just because you don't know, that's a testament to your character.
Well, thank you. Well, what about Al's character?
Well, I can't speak for that, but I will say that both bottle and booze are spelled with a B, so take your pick.
Yeah, I usually would bring my iced tea. But, no, I think you're right, though. I think that's what it was in the old days.
It was on one of the movies, American...
Graffiti.
One of those.
No, American
movies.
Reunion. Ever see that?
Yes, I did.
That's funny, right?
Yes, one of those.
Which one do you like better, American Graffiti or American Reunion?
Just like Tommy said, I'll reserve.
No, the graffiti one was Ron Howard, and that was like in the... Long ago when he was a teenager. That was sort of cute.
Yes, it was.
I liked it. American Reunion, yeah, that was sort of cute too, though.
Yes.
A little more, well, updated. But not bad. I'd go American Graffiti, though.
I agree.
I'll pick that one.
I agree with you.
All right, back to COPE.
All right, COPE. Now, I'll bring your own device. I'll explain it briefly. When a company has a network and they have all their data, the contact and calendar information on there. It is accessible by local PCs. Well, when someone has a laptop, you usually enable it via Wi-Fi. There's, you know, the router and the firewall has to be configured to allow a remote user to connect via Wi-Fi. Still on the same network, but in the building. To allow someone to connect from outside the building, the firewall has to be programmed to allow remote access from outside the building. Mm-hmm. Well, the bring your own device is if someone wanted to bring their laptop from home, their tablet, smartphone, and jump on the internal Wi-Fi and get on the network, that's typically bring your own device. But a lot of the companies are now webified to where it doesn't matter if you're in the building or outside the building, you can access the corporate data. So bring your own device. It typically was bring your own laptop, tablet, or smartphone into the company to access data. And with that, the companies have policies or rules they would like the individuals to adhere to. Some of the items like antivirus must be of a certain level or it must be... updated or active on the device at the time of connecting. Certain applications were like some of the streaming video sites could not be used or are just mandated that they don't do that on the company Wi-Fi or even on the company internet because it chews up so much bandwidth that everyone else's activities run slow. Other audio and music downloads like Pandora, some of those other programs, they don't. Those typically have backdoors and or viruses or trojans, other things that. So there's a policy not to use the shareware programs or music sharing or video sharing programs. So there's lots of policies that need to be implemented before someone can just bring their device or. Before they should be allowed on the network when they have their own devices. Now, COPE is company-owned devices, but personally enabled because the companies figured out that if they control the device, which means they purchase it themselves, they then assign it to an employee. They can be strict about the policy that here's the guidelines, here's what you can do, here's what you can't do. This device is just used for company use only. Well, with the bring your own device, now the company can actually save money because they don't need to have, they won't have the capital outlay. They allow the users to bring it in. Well, so there's this kind of like a hybrid where now the user has their own personal phone, they bring it in, or their tablet, and they feel that they are free to do whatever they want with it, or they just won't use it. Well, now they're the in between, the middle of the road is COPE, company owned, personally enabled, meaning the company will have the guidelines that they're a little bit more free with it and say, yes, you can use it during business hours for only these applications and for business purposes, and then after hours you can use it personally. You can use it with YouTube or Facebook, because a lot of businesses still use those resources and LinkedIn and some of the others for research during business hours. So it's real hard to say which person can have access to this social media and this person can't, when a lot of applications are now webified utilizing the same browsers and same very similar sites.
So how NetOne can help is put in certain guidelines. Is that how you do it? Or
yes, we do, and we actually have a managed solution, very much like the desktop applications. Oh. It is designed for the mobile devices, where we can establish policies and or applications that are able to be installed and actually utilized. There's other applications that can be installed to monitor at a enterprise level that, I mean, it is granular. You can tell it what website, what sub-website, what page they can view, what type of information they can view. So this was a case with one of the clients that the marketing department needed the ability to research social media, different sites, which opens up, you know, YouTube and MySpace and, you know, watching videos. Well, you know, there's that fine line between watching a video for training and watching video for just enjoyment, watching Gangnam Style video, which had 1 billion views, where everybody in the office is just clicking and watching this. And the reason why this is important is because some of the cellular data plans outside the company only include so much data before when they reach that maximum, the cellular companies start charging. Well, the return on investment of to manage the device for that type of a company that needs the users to have access to it but not abuse it, I've heard where companies receive hundreds of dollars in overages, if not thousands, simply because users are abusing that
downloading
streaming.
Music is big, I think.
Exactly. Music and videos.
But usually just going to a website is little.
Correct. Just because it just has a couple images that it downloads very quickly and then it stops.
That's what I heard. Because I have AT&T and I had this unlimited plan.
Yes.
And they go, you have you're not even more than 1 gigabyte or something. Uh-huh. I think they called it a gigabyte.
Yes, that's a good term.
And they go, our next plan and is 10 gigabytes. You'll never hit that the way you go. And so I haven't so far. So we switched the plan. It reduced the fee $100 a month or something like that.
Yes.
And it sounded like they wanted to get rid of these unlimited data plans.
They do, yes. I am grandfathered in on an unlimited data plan.
You kept it? I should have kept it. Huh?
Yes, you should have.
Now it's too late.
Too late now, yes. I checked one day. I used 60 gig.
What do you use it on? Was it for work?
Yes, for work.
But for you, it probably makes sense to do unlimited.
Right, correct. So I take photos. I send them up to
I don't do any of that. I hardly do anything.
And then I'll watch training videos or webinars, when I'm researching something. And it'll say, this is how something occurs, or this is how you do something. And so I'll watch a quick 2-minute video or 5-minute video on how to, help videos.
Wow, so that's different. So basically, NetOne service, your company can really, you have managed solutions. So it's really like restrictions for users. It sounds like that you're putting in what they can and can't
as well as security, yes. Because you then can control, as in that one can help the company control who has access to the email, who has access to the data from those devices, and additional security if some policies like the passcodes that it can't be too simple, like 1234 on the phone, or some phones users just don't simply put a passcode on at all. They lose their phone, someone hits the button, and they can see everything, including all the corporate contacts, all the corporate data. So we help to ensure that companies are secure. One more thing is, if the phone is lost, we have the ability with a click of a button erase or wipe the phone so that it can't be hacked. And
wow.
It's really nice security features. So I know the segment, we're almost out of time.
Yeah,
and
about 5 minutes, yeah.
And so we will talk more about antivirus and policies and report managers, who's doing what on their phones, almost like if it's a desktop. So I'll bring that in our part two segment.
Well, this is really cool. So there's a lot more than people realize, it seems like to me. So
yes.
You know, but we've talked about it before. I'm just a real firm believer, you know, if you're going to be in business, you know, I've said this before, definitely you should have a relationship with some attorney, a CPA, I think a business coach, but you know, very important, and maybe as important as any of them, and maybe more so, is an IT guy, because with everything going electronic these days and technology just like obsolete after a month, it seems like, right?
Yes.
You know, people shouldn't experiment.
Oh, that's true.
They shouldn't guess. You know, and people do guess, though, and that could be disastrous.
As well as the term, that'll never happen to me.
Oh,
That and it does, and it can, and so just a little bit of preventive maintenance or thought in this area will protect the company from being a target of a virus, malicious activity, erasing all of their company data, formatting hard drives, or taking company data and dispersing it on the internet. All of the customers, all of their names, email addresses. You can imagine a client losing access. I mean, not losing access, but someone else gaining access to all of their records, their history, who they sold products to. It would be devastating.
You know, and the thing that I know that you provide, which I really like, is online backup. I have it on my laptop, right?
Yes.
And the desktop.
Yes.
And it gives a notice, like, you know, so if my computer was off, it'll say, oh, you missed the backup.
Correct.
And it's really seamless. Like, if I'm working on it, it's like, wow, I didn't even know it was backing up. And there it was. And it gives a notice, like, oh, you just backed up a couple thousand files.
Yes.
It was, like, really easy.
Yes, it is. Technology has improved, and that is something that one can help with.
Oh, I think people should really look at that. I don't know if we have time, but I am curious about how to unsend an email on Google. Or let's see, what is Dave Master? Well, I don't know what I have, but do I have Google? I think I do. But anyway, if I don't, how do you send, like, Google? Is there a way to unsend an email, or is that part two?
To unsend, once you click send,
that's it.
It's unless it's on a typically an Exchange server where you have the
you can't unsend it.
Yeah, it's gone. It's up in the cloud, and it's already made it to another server.
That's I figured.
Yes. Now you can. Some applications have the ability to attempt to recover an email, but the other receiving server has to comply in order to delete that, and it's not common these days.
AOL used to have that.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't know if they still have
that. Yeah, I don't either. Microsoft Exchange servers do have the capability.
Oh, they do?
But they have to be allowed from the other end. Now, keep in mind, for compliance reasons, you can't delete email. I'm sure large companies will prevent you from deleting it. You can click on recover, but once it's sent, it is a legal document, and it's binding.
It's gone.
And it's
like in baseball, way back. Yeah, that home. That's a home run. That's out of the stadium. So, yeah, I was wondering, because if people accidentally send something to the wrong person, how do you unsend it?
That's what the disclaimer at the bottom says. If this email is not intended for this, you are to delete that.
That's good. It wasn't anything major, though. That's the good news. So, anyway, wow, can you believe this just flew by this hour? It's amazing,
it's
right?
It's going faster and faster.
It is. How do people get in touch with you?
They can reach me by cell phone, 602-989-2334, or website, www.netoneservices.com.
That is fantastic. And let's see. Of course, you're going to be on next month. You might even join us at the 3 o'clock hour. But Christian Marison is on at 3, 2, 4. A lot of more high-tech stuff. We're going to talk about future and all this good stuff that people want to know about, but we're too afraid to ask. That's coming up at 3 o'clock. We'll be right back.
FamilyValuesRadio.net.
1010 KXXT.
Tolleson, Phoenix.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
At Beerenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.